Good evening.
Good evening.
It's great to be with you tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. You know, there are songs that we all have that are our favorites, and if I was to make a top 10 list, that song, Teach Me, Lord, to Wait, would find its way onto that list, because that's it's a beautiful song with a wonderful message that actually comes straight out of Scripture. And so appreciate Mr. David leading that song. This morning when I was delivering the sermon, my phone started buzzing, and I was telling some people this at lunch. It was a spam caller that was calling. I came that close to answering and just sitting it right here on the podium and just keep on preaching. Maybe they'd listen for a little while, maybe they wouldn't. But as I felt it buzzing and I glanced down and saw what it was, I almost did that, but decided against it. This evening we continue our study that we began this morning, a series of lessons that we're going to be looking at entitled Following His Steps. Saying from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, where Peter wrote, "For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Was it over the next few months we want to walk through the life of Jesus? Notice the things that Jesus did. Notice the lessons that He taught. And try to have a better appreciation for our Lord and Savior. We began that journey this morning by looking at the birth of Jesus. We said that there were three things that we wanted to notice. We noticed two of those this morning. We noticed the events before Christ's birth, and we looked at the ancestry in Matthew 1 and in Luke 3. We noticed the announcements that were made to both Mary and Joseph about the coming birth of Jesus. We looked at the events during His birth, and focused in particularly in Luke chapter 2. We looked at the time of His birth and the place of His birth and some of the circumstances of His birth. And that brings us to our third point, which is where we want to jump in tonight. And that is the events after Christ's birth. The events after Christ's birth. We want to notice three things that occurred after the birth of Christ. First, we want to notice the proclamation. There was an announcement that was made to a group of shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 through 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. You know, we look at this proclamation that was made to the shepherds. This announcement that was made, and it's the only announcement we see of this type that was made. And we look at the life and work of the shepherd. Shepherds were considered, the work that they did, that it was considered one of the lowest positions that a person could have. In fact, there were those who would look down upon those who served as shepherds. And yet, these are the ones that God decided to make that first announcement to. These are the ones that God wanted to know what had taken place. I think there's a great lesson there to us, the fact that we should look at everyone the same. God did not consider their position to make them unworthy of knowing about Jesus. And friends, it should never be the case that any of us make the judgment call that someone is unworthy to hear the gospel. The gospel is without a doubt for all. One of the statements that is made here by the angel has always been interesting to me. He says, on earth, peace. And I realize that here he's talking about peace and goodwill toward men. But on earth at that point, there really was peace. There was the Prince of Peace, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, because Jesus had been born. The gospel that he would proclaim would be the gospel of peace, Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. His death would be one that would make peace, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. And he is our peace, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. And when you think about that statement made by the angel, it was so true. Because without a doubt, Christ came to bring peace. Not only was there this proclamation, though, made to the shepherds, but after this time, there was the presentation of Jesus. We have recorded for us his circumcision, which was according to the law of Moses. During that time, there would be the naming of Jesus, and Jesus would receive the name that the angel had instructed Mary and Joseph to call him. And there would be his presentation at the temple. All of this is recorded in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 39. All of this in keeping with the law of Moses. And one of the things that's interesting, we said this morning, we talked about what was it about Mary and Joseph? Why were they chosen to be the parents of Jesus? Well, one of the things I think that we see playing in with Mary and Joseph is they were faithful Jews. They kept the law and they did everything that was supposed to be done in keeping with the law after Jesus' birth. Also in this passage of Scripture, we have the prophet Simeon. Simeon was one of the priests that was working in the temple, and we have his prophetic utterances concerning Jesus. Simeon was an old man at this point. And can you imagine for Simeon to be able to hold Jesus knowing that this is God in the flesh, knowing that this is deity, knowing that this is my Savior. What an awesome thing to consider. That brings us to the third thing, and that is the visitation. We have in Matthew chapter 2, in verses 1 through 12, the coming of the wise men. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. Liar. You can put that in parentheses right there. Herod had no intent to worship him. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. I told you this morning that we would answer the question once and for all, how many wise men were there? Here's the answer, more than one. All right? We don't know, of course, many scenes you see have three because of the three gifts that were given. Traditionally, if you do a little bit of study into that, these groups would travel in much larger numbers than just three. But we don't know, and you know, really and truthfully, does it really matter? That seems to be always a huge question that's raised, but it has no bearing one way or the other on the account. Something interesting to notice here is that some time has passed since Jesus was born. You see the phrase that they came into the house. And so Jesus is no longer in the stable when the wise men arrive. He's now in a house. We don't know how much time has passed, but obviously still a very young child at this point. And one of the great lessons here that we see is in the gifts that were given by the wise men. They gave gold. Gold was a gift fit for a king. And that was one of the things, one of the roles that Jesus was going to fulfill. They gave frankincense. Frankincense was a fragrance that was used in the incense in the temple. In fact, if you go back and read in the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus, you'll see references made to frankincense because it was something that the priest used in making the incense that would be burned in first the tabernacle and later the temple. And so frankincense was a gift fit for a priest. And of course, we know Jesus is our high priest. And then there was myrrh. Myrrh was used for a lot of different things in the ancient world, but one of its uses was to prepare bodies for burial. And so it was a gift fit for a sacrifice. And these three gifts, we see a lot about who Jesus was going to be. A king, a priest, and ultimately a sacrifice for us. The wise men also give us a great lesson on giving. They prepared their gifts. They protected those gifts. The journey that they would have made would have been a perilous journey at times. There would have been robbers, bandits, people laying in wait to try to steal what they had. So they protected those gifts. You know, there are things that could rob us from giving God what is His due. And then they presented those gifts. And of course, they presented their gifts in the Savior's hand. We present our gifts into the collection basket, or in this case, the collection box. I heard a preacher one time talk about a child who said that they had not given their money to God. I was like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "Well, we give it straight to God." And the child had heard that talked about and was expecting to actually give the money to God physically. But isn't that what we do? Indeed, a beautiful picture in the gifts that were presented to Jesus. One final thing that occurred after the birth, and I didn't include this in the PowerPoint. In fact, it popped in my head as I was studying this afternoon. A fourth thing that you could write down is the assassination. The assassination, Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Of course, Herod, when he realizes that he had been duped by the wise men, that they had gone home and did another way, Herod ends up killing all children, all male children from 2-year-old and down in that region. With the hopes, of course, that Jesus would be among them. Of course, we know that Jesus fled to Egypt. He would be in Egypt for a time, and then he would come to Nazareth, which is why he would be called a Nazarene. And as Matthew records, all of those things were in fulfillment of those prophecies. Friends, the greatest birth in all of history. Hopefully now we have a better understanding and maybe a better appreciation for how Jesus came into the world. Of course, we know that he did not stay a baby. He grew up. Luke chapter 2 and verse 23, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. He went to the cross. He gave his life for you and for me. How we respond? Will we follow his steps? Will we follow his examples in faithful service to God? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we'll hope you'll take those steps. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and are willing to turn from sin, to confess that belief, and to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, we would love to help you with that. If you've done those things, but you realize tonight you're not living the life that you should, friend, make that change. If it's something that needs to be done publicly, then handle that publicly. If it's something that needs to be done privately, handle that privately. Whatever stands in between you and God, move that out of the way tonight. so that you can stand just before Him. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as together we stand and as we sing.